RCE and 107.7 FM W299 CD Richland Center, and always on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Michelle Franzen. Thousands of homes and businesses destroyed from multiple wildfires still burning in the Los Angeles area. And new evacuation orders tonight in Woodland Hills as winds kick up again. L.A. County Sheriff authorities announced a dozen arrests related to looting and are now working on a curfew. L.A. County Supervisor Catherine Barger.
We must stand up against opportunists who want to prey on these victims. I will not stand by and allow an already traumatic experience to be further compounded.
At least five people are confirmed dead in the Palisades and Eaton fires. The D.C. Circuit Court of Appeals ordered an administrative stay in the trial of Guantanamo Bay prisoner and 9/11 mastermind Khalid Sheikh Mohammed to allow for more oral arguments. He was expected to enter a guilty plea tomorrow that could possibly spare him the death sentence. The casket of Jimmy Carter arrived in Plains, Georgia for a private family funeral service this past hour. This is ABC News.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
For WRCE 107.7 FM News, I'm Joanne Krulatz. Good news for the nation's top producer. The FDA has ruled cranberries can be labeled healthy. The FDA has proposed a new rule where producers couldn't label cranberries healthy because sugar is added to make them palatable. Senators Tammy Baldwin and Ron Johnson, plus other Wisconsin lawmakers, started advocating for a change to that rule. Now, 2 years later, the FDA agreed. They amended the rule to say that cranberries can still count as healthy as long as they don't have more sugar than other comparable fruits have naturally. Wisconsin grows more cranberries than any other state, supplying 62% of the nation's supply. The Packers Pro Shop website has experienced a data security breach. The team sent a letter to affected consumers to offer identity theft and credit monitoring services. The letter to consumers said the breach only affected purchases made through the e-commerce website. The brick-and-mortar store was not affected, nor were purchases made with gift cards, ProShop web accounts, PayPal, or Amazon Pay. Bleeping Computer is a website that tracks data breaches. A story on the website says the potentially impacted transactions were made between September 23rd and 24th and October 3rd through the 23rd. Plans for enhanced security ahead of this spring's NFL draft in Green Bay. Efforts to ramp up safety after the New Year's Day terrorist attack in New Orleans began with Sunday's Packers-Bears game at Lambeau Field. Law enforcement agencies around northeast Wisconsin have begun regular meetings with each other and the NFL. Preparations for expected crowds for the April draft will ramp up following next month's Super Bowl in New Orleans. For WRCE News, I'm Joanne Krulatz.
The Bucks kicked the Spurs. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Bucks with a dominating 121-105 victory over the San Antonio Spurs. Doc Rivers on how he thought his team played defensively.
I loved it. I told him that at halftime. It's like, guys, back-to-back games, our defensive focus and attention to detail was on point. And when we play like that, we're really tough. Because if we get multiple misses, we're going to eventually make threes.
College hoops, the Wisconsin Badgers will try to extend their four-game winning streak when they host the Minnesota Gophers. That's tomorrow night, 6 p.m. at the Kohl Center in Madison. NFL, Packers holding practice, getting ready to face the Eagles. Sunday afternoon at 3:30, Jaden Reed says it's too soon for the Packers season to be over just yet.
We ain't worked this hard to come this far. You know, we went through a lot, you know, in camp, through the season to even get here. So our mindset is on one goal, and, you know, that's how we're preparing this week.
That's Packers wide receiver Jaden Reed. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Cloudy tonight with scattered flurries and snow showers. Lows upper teens. A mix of sun and clouds for tomorrow. Highs upper 20s. Dry Saturday. More snow possible late Saturday night and Sunday. Weekend highs pretty close to 30 degrees. Current temp is 30.
The Todd Alba Show.
Donald J. Trump has been officially certified the winner of the 2024 election the way that the Constitution dictates.
You see how simple that is? There's a vote. You certify the results. Democracy moves on. You might not like the results. The person I wanted to have elected didn't win. But that's the way democracy works. Unlike 4 years ago on January 6th, where rioters stormed the Capitol.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekdays, noon till 2 on your local civic media radio station and on the app.
Ever tried balancing a dozen eggs in one hand while hopping on one foot? Or maybe juggling cats while riding the unicycle? Sounds ridiculous, right? But guess what? That's exactly what texting while driving is like. Your human brain only has the capacity to focus on one thing at a time. So when you're behind the wheel, give driving your undivided attention.
Don't drive distracted. A message brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, Project Yellow Light, and the Ad Council.
Earl Ingram.
Join me on the next show. We'll talk with my regular co-host Sandy Williams about the forest fires in California and other issues impacting us all.
The Earl Ingram Show. Weekday mornings 8 till 10. News from the center, WRCE. Broadcasting live from the Civic Media Studios in Green Bay, this is Nightlight with Pete Schwabba, your inside source on everything entertainment from Wisconsin to Hollywood. And now, a guy whose house has an actual wiggle room, Pete Schwabba.
Let's light it up. The kidding around is pretty much over, ladies and gentlemen. We are going to light this night right here, right now, on Civic Media. I am Pete Schwabba, your host of Nightlight. So great to have you with me tonight, wherever you are joining us from. In the great state of Wisconsin, we are broadcasting statewide from beautiful downtown Green Bay at City Deck Landing. Hope you're having a great day. So much going on. I feel like this is like a night where, you know, if I could toot my own horn, we need Nightlight tonight. There's fires. There's a lot of political polarization. There's a lot of uncertainty. But this fire stuff, I have to tell you, I've been watching. A couple days ago, I talked about all the zombie films I watched. And, you know, I had my dose of the apocalypse over the holidays. And now watching these fires and the filming that people are sharing online, it looks apocalyptic. It is so horrible. And it's taking the fun out of good zombie movies for me. So I hope if you are listening in California, I know a lot of us have loved ones or friends out there. I hope they are remaining safe and have gotten to a safe area. It's just devastating to see the damage. So hopefully, with that said, we are going to move forward tonight talking about the things that bring us together and the things that take our mind off the stress of the day. We'll leave that behind. And talk about movies and TV and comedy. Tonight on the show, we have a nice assortment of entertainment to discuss. I'm very excited because our friend Greg Bach will be here at 6:35. He's going to make our popcorn pick of the week. So we'll talk to Greg. He's the co-host of Matt and Air on Air and a very funny comedian who is one of the co-owners of The Laughing Tap in Milwaukee. So Greg has got his finger on the pulse of all things comedy, all things current events. It'll be great to talk to Greg at 6:30. They were nice enough to welcome me on to Matt and Air on Air just a couple weeks ago. Always fun to talk to those guys, and it's great to have Greg on Nightlight. And then at 7:05, Civic Media Sports Authority, Mike Clemens joins us. We'll have some Packer talk with Mike. Maybe we'll go into the Bucks. The Bucks won, right, Conrad? Yeah. They just got a one. You don't care. You're a Phoenix Suns fan anyway. But
I still keep my finger on the pulse, as you say.
That's how I am, too. I really don't have. I'm one of those people that, like, I don't hate other sports teams because it's like Jerry Seinfeld said, this team wears this colors, this team wears these colors. You're rooting for laundry. So I have my teams, but I don't hate their adversaries. You know, so I'm kind of with you there, and I like to see, just because I live here, it's more fun when your teams win. So the Bucks, hopefully they're turning it around. Were they still in the middle of the pack, or they?
No, they now have a winning record.
Okay.
And at the beginning of the season, they started 1-9 or something like that.
Brutal.
I believe.
Brutal.
But
God.
Yeah, they turned it around. They won the NBA Cup.
Yeah.
Which is pretty cool too.
That is. All right. So that's good to see too. We'll talk some Packers and Bucks with Mike at 7:05. And then there's a really cool event happening here in, Wisconsin, a poetry event happening January 9th. And our friend James Roberts, who was on the show last year at this time, that was the first time we had talked to James, who reached out to discuss his Winter Festival of Poetry that's happening here in Wisconsin. James is the regional vice president of the Wisconsin Fellowship of Poets. The event is January 19th, and we will talk to James about the event. It's, you might be surprised. I know a lot of people don't read poetry nowadays. I was an English major. I read my share of it when I was younger, and I still read it periodically, but not as much as I probably should, because I do enjoy reading it. But James has a great interview, and he's got some neat things to say about poetry, and this event is really cool too. So stick around for that. We are covering all kinds of entertainment tonight, from popcorn picks of the week and comedy to sports to poetry. That's a full show, Conrad.
Yes, it
You're
is.
You're going to be exhausted when this is over. And, you know, we had Mike Siegel on last night. He hosts the Travel Tales podcast. We had Jimmy Pardo on a couple weeks ago, who has a wildly popular podcast as well called Never Not Funny. I don't approve of the double negatives, but I do like the title. It got me thinking, and I listen to sports podcasts, some showbiz podcasts. I am absorbed with showbiz typically throughout the day in my other gig as a writer and trying to get projects going and with this radio show. So I tend to, when I listen to podcasts, I go for some escapism. So I usually will listen to sports or some comedy that my friends put out there. So that brings us, ladies and gentlemen, to tonight's question of the night.
Let's talk about the question.
Okay, question.
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 Pregunta.
Question.
Question.
Hey, I have a question.
Questions.
This question.
Domanda.
Question.
Question.
Questions.
What is your favorite podcast? And I think I wasn't late to the party, but I think I'm really behind on podcasts because I don't. I only listen to them when I'm working out or driving. Some people, it's their new TV or movies. I cannot believe how many podcasts people I talk to on a daily basis listen to. Cooking, travel, all kinds of stuff. I mean, so I admit I'm behind when it comes to finding, like, you know, trendy podcasts. So I want to know what people are listening to. What is your favorite podcast? 855-752-4842-855-75-CIVIC. You can also text us on the app. Very easy to use. We're on statewide, so click on any one of the stations, and there's a little text icon right next to the station. Just click on that and fire away. And Conrad, tell people how can they give us a like or a follow or check us out and watch the radio on TV.
Yeah, so on Facebook, we're WISS, WGBW, or Nightlight with Pichuaba. On YouTube is WGBW or Civic Media. And on Twitter, it is Civic Media or WGBW.
Text us on the stream, yeah. Text us on the app, or text us old school on the phone. Just get a hold of us one way or the other, because we love it when you're part of the show, and we love to hear your opinions throughout. So what is your favorite podcast? Let us know. I'm probably going to say the two I just mentioned. I don't even listen to those as much as I should. But aside from sports podcasts I listen to, I would say probably Travel Tales and Never Not Funny. Mike Schmidt also has a great podcast called The 40-Year-Old Boy. I don't know if he's putting new episodes out or not, but that's a great one, too, if you want to find it, if you're looking for comedy. Mike has been on the show before and told stories. He gets going on a story, and I feel bad cutting him off because we have to do a break, because he's just such a fun storyteller. But there are so many great podcasts out there. I'm actually putting this out there to look for recommendations as much as I am just wanting to start a conversation here with you, the listeners. So let us know. Lots going on. I had to comment on this earlier today, and I don't want to get into the fires too much, but the amount of experts on social media is staggering. People chiming in from that live nowhere near Southern California. They've got all the answers. And I don't think you can be mad at someone if they just remain quiet or ask questions. But it's those people pontificating that drive me berserk, where I'm almost to the point where I might have to defriend people and not just default, because I cannot listen to that. I understand. I want to hear viewpoints from all sides, whether it's politics, sports, entertainment. I think that is the spice of life. But if you're just being an idiot and spewing stuff you've heard, I don't need to listen to that. It raises my blood pressure and stresses me out. Having said that, Conrad, what do you think they should do about the fires? Do you have people like that expert on your social media? I would never just start flapping my lips about something I don't know anything about.
I saw just today on like an Instagram post that said, well, just pour some water on it. Obviously being really sarcastic.
Right,
like,
right.
All right, come on.
It's staggering. And I don't know. It's kind of depressing. Because the first thing you're thinking is when you see an entire region of a city, of the second largest city, burning, and your first instinct is to chime in with talking points you've heard elsewhere. It's easy to have all the answers when people tell you what to say. But if that's your first instinct, I just feel like you got to prioritize things going on. All I can think of is this is horrible. And I felt the same way with the floods in North Carolina or hurricanes in Florida. Like, you just want to say, get out of there, get to safety. I think that is something that brings all of us together. It's like, please, just leave. And I saw the thing, the video online of the guy in his home filming the fire outside, and people are like, why doesn't he leave the house? It's like, maybe he can't. That's my first instinct, too, is get out of there, but he's probably waiting for the firefighters or following orders. I don't know. Terrible stuff, though. I did it again. I brought the fires up again. Conrad, stop. Here's what you need to do. I'm going to quote Del Griffith here from Planes, Trains, and Automobiles. The next time you catch me running off at the mouth, you just give me a poke in the chops. Because it's like, I don't want to talk about, but I can't help delving back into it because it's so horrible.
Yeah.
We did miss a text from last night. And our question last night was, what is the best song to slow dance to? And we got some great answers. It was a really fun discussion. But we missed a text right at the end from Wisconsin Rapids. I thought her name was Pamela. I don't see the name on here now. But she said, three times a lady, generally played near the end of the evening. Also, Last Dance from Donna Summer. Last Dance is kind of fast, though. It's a great song. But I think that's kind of an upbeat. That's like more of a disco song. But I think we said that was okay, too. If you wanted to, so great answer. John, thank you. Yeah, she texted right at the end of the show and we missed it. So I wanted to make sure we got that out there. So this is interesting. I don't know if you knew this, but the SAG Awards, I know most people who are, you know, not in the entertainment business or aren't big showbiz, aficionados, so to speak, or huge fans don't know much about the SAG Awards. And I will admit, I didn't know this either, but I found this fascinating yesterday when I read this, that they don't do like Best Picture. They approach everything from an acting standpoint because it's the Screen Actors Guild. And they give out awards, which I love, for Best Ensemble Cast. Top to bottom, the whole cast. And I love that because there are some movies that are so great, or TV shows, because the cast is phenomenal. And I just learned this yesterday researching this. Since 1995, when the SAG Awards started, the motion picture that won Best Ensemble Cast has won Best Picture at the Oscars every year, with the exception of four years between 1995 and 2025 remains to be seen. That's incredible. It's great acting translates to great movies. Interesting stuff. All right, when we come back, we still have some Jim Gaffigan we have to get to, don't we?
Oh, yes.
Yeah,
yes.
Let's pull that up next. That's at some comedy coming your way next, folks. Nightlight with Pete Schwabba on the Civic Media Radio Network. Walk alone, and you're forever talking on the phone. And I try to call your name, but every time it comes out the same.
This is News from the Center, WRCE.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. Former New York Governor Andrew Cuomo signed automatic voter registration into law in December of 2020 to begin in January of 2023. Pandemic, technical, and bidding delays ensued, but preparation for voter registration at the DMV and other state agencies has finally begun. the New York State Board of Elections approved a resolution in December 2024 authorizing the state's Department of Motor Vehicles and other state agencies to create voter registration forms and transmit that data to the Board of Elections database. The new system allows citizens to opt out of voter registration, but will otherwise register or change registration information during official transactions. Gotham Gazette reports that both the implementation of automatic voter registration, or AVR, and online voter registration, or OVR, were delayed as technical staff was diverted for pandemic-related IT projects. While the delays are frustrating, getting it right is critical. Early adopter Oregon recently discovered flaws in its very successful AVR system, with evidence that ineligible citizens and non-citizens were accidentally registered during state transactions. The state is in the process of a system-wide audit. Brennan Center for Justice finds AVR has increased voter registrations from 9% to 94% in jurisdictions around the country. We have more on AVR at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. I'm Brian Beal.
Matt Nair on Air.
It is our 1 year anniversary here on Matt Nair on Air. Thank you, Greg and Calvin, for being on this journey with me. It's been great.
Thanks for having me. I can't speak for Calvin.
I'm always thrilled to be here.
Unbridled.
The enthusiasm brimming over from you, Calvin. I'm overwhelmed. Thank you.
Matt Nair on Air. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. You're listening to News from the Center, WRCE.
My dislike for the game connections is growing rapidly. It just seems to get worse every day. Did you do connections today?
I really only do the Wordle.
Yeah. I would start with the mini, and then I would do Wordle, and I would do Letterboxd, and then Spelling Bee. But I don't pay for Spelling Bee, so I would get as many words as I can, and then they would just stop me. So that wasn't that much fun. But Letterboxd was fun. But when Connections came out and Strands now, which I love, I stopped doing Letterboxd and Spelling Bee. And I loved Connections when it first came out. But I think they're just making stuff up now and running out of ideas. We talked about this recently. Today, was it today or yesterday? The category, the purple category, which is the hardest one, is words misspelled in new metal band names. It was like Lincoln, Biscuit,
Corn.
Corn. And they spelled it properly. So I'm like, well, I just didn't get it. And I get impatient. After like 5 minutes, I'm like, screw it. I just put anything because I want to get on with my day. Really frustrating. So a big movie opening this weekend is Den of Thieves, Pantera. It's now the Gerard Butler film. He makes a lot of movies, a lot of action films. He made the first Den of Thieves. And man, I love a good heist movie. And when Den of Thieves came out last, when was it? Maybe 2019, 2020. Not sure exactly when it came out. I was very excited to see it. Until there was a shootout on an exit ramp and this task force of LA detectives with all these cars between them and the bad guys just started firing away with like 500 civilians between them. Like that would never happen. What was the movie we were talking about too? We liked it. And then there was this like this high speed chase. It was the, the Matt Damon and Ben Affleck's brother.
Oh,
movie.
Private Investigators or something like that.
Instigators. Like, I kind of like that. That was a heist movie, too. And then all of a sudden, they're doing this high-speed chase, and cops are flying over trees in their cars, and it just loses me. It's just lazy writing. Write something that makes sense. Because who doesn't love a good shootout or car chase? We all do. But make it believable. So I'm hoping this Den of Thieves 2, Pantera, is more believable.
You know, what you're describing right now is every Fast and Furious movie. Every single one.
Just completely implausible.
The last one I saw was The Rock and Vin Diesel in it.
Wait a minute. The Rock and Vin Diesel were in something that was hard to believe?
Yeah. Right? Like, you wouldn't expect it, you know?
What were their names? This is another thing that cracks me up. Two of the most macho, The Rock and Vin Diesel. Their real names are like Jerry Phillips or something like that.
Dwayne
like
Johnson.
But it's, I don't even think his real name is Dwayne Johnson.
Is it? I think that's his dad's name or something.
I'm going to look it up because it's bothering me.
Go to the Google.
I know that Vin Diesel.
Dwayne Douglas Johnson. Vin okay. Diesel's is Mark Sinclair.
Mark Sinclair. Yeah. Fine names. There's nothing wrong with Dwayne Johnson or Mark Sinclair. Vin Diesel?
Where did he get that? I don't think I've ever found out actually where he came up with that.
It's just a little, it's a little too macho. No one is that tough. Maybe in a movie you are. I don't know. But I'm hoping Den of Thieves 2 is good. I really love a good heist film. I'm a little skeptical because they go overseas now. Gerard Butler is chasing the same diamond thief.
O'Shea Jackson, right?
O'Shea Jackson, who was in the first one. Yeah. He's chasing him through Europe. Now, I didn't know that local LA cops do that, but, you know, his name in the film is Big Nick. And it's Den of Thieves 2, Pantera. Tried to look that up too. I still have no idea what they're talking about. All right, let's switch. Conrad, we have to do some comedy. Pat Sajak has been in the news quite a bit lately because he retired from Wheel of Fortune. He went and did some dinner theater play. No idea he had acting chops. But then he came back to, I think, celebrity host Wheel of Fortune. And when I found this clip, I'm like, we have to play this because Jim Gaffigan is just so funny. And I love when he has a take on something. He's so dry. Here's Jim Gaffigan talking about Pat Sajak and Wheel of Fortune.
There are some people in the entertainment industry that have unique skills that are properly compensated. I'm talking about once in a generation talents, right? You know, someone like Pat Sajak, former host of Wheel of Fortune. Was there anything Pat Sajak couldn't do? Think about this. He was the host of Wheel of Fortune. He was like a Renaissance man. I'm sure Pat Sajak's a good guy. And I love Wheel of Fortune. I'm not even 80. I love Wheel of Fortune. So when he announced his retirement, I was kind of bummed, you know? And he seems like a good guy. So he probably gathered everyone from the Wheel of Fortune family together. And he's like, I've been doing this for a couple decades, and I've decided to retire. I wish I was there, because if I was there, I'd have been like, you know, this isn't a real job, right? You don't get to retire from playing Hangman. The appropriate thing to do is to apologize and give back all the money. Because Pat Sajak had a good gig. You know how much he made a year? $17 million a year. Yeah, that could buy a couple vowels. $17 million. And he didn't even turn the letters. That was probably part of the negotiation. He's like, I can't do everything. So they got Vanna White. He made $17 million. Vanna made $3 million. I think we'd all agree they both should make nothing. When he announced his retirement, where the producer's like, oh no, this is awful. Where are we going to find someone to say it's your turn to spin the wheel? The good news, there is good news. Pat Sajak is continuing on as a consultant on the show. I don't know what consulting work there is on the Wheel of Fortune. Any new letters come out today? No, Pat's still the same 26 letters. All right, well, I'll be in my office.
That's so great. Jim Gaffigan talking about Pat Sajak. He's so right, too. Like, I kind of agree with people that said, oh, Pat Sajak was so good. Well, he was, but, you know, wasn't too tough a job. He had it down to a science. I thought he'd been at it longer than two decades, too. All right. Hey, when we come back, it's our popcorn pick of the week, ladies and gentlemen. And I am excited to say Matt Nair on Air co-host Greg Bach will be here. And he is going to give us our pick this week. And we'll talk to Greg after Civic Media's award-winning news team keeps you informed. This is Pete Schwabe and Nightlight. Great to have you with me on the Civic Media Radio Network.
News from the Center, WRCE.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
For WRCE 107.7 FM News, I'm Joanne Krulotz. Some healthcare systems in Wisconsin are bringing back face mask requirements. On Monday, Aurora Healthcare began requiring that visitors wear masks when in contact with patients or in areas where people congregate. The Wisconsin Department of Health Services warns of high activity from respiratory illnesses such as COVID, flu, and RSV, and rising case numbers for norovirus. Aurora is making masks available at the entrances of all its locations. In November, UW Health began requiring masks in select high-risk areas of the hospital during the respiratory season, which runs through mid-March. UW gets funds for vaping research. The study is a collaboration between the UW Health Preventive Cardiology Program and the UW Center for Tobacco Research and Intervention. It will examine the long-term effects on heart and lung health caused by vaping. The study team will recruit 400 participants, 21 and older, who have vaped regularly for a year or more and do not currently smoke. Researchers will then check in with participants over the course of the three-year study to monitor their blood vessel, heart, and lung health. Funding for the study comes from the National Institutes of Health. People who complete the study will get up to $675 and individualized test results. The fundraiser for the Abundant Life Christian School community has grown to over $240,000. The school principal has a general outline of how that money will be used. First, that money will be put toward the families who lost loved ones to cover whatever they may need. Then it'll help pay for medical expenses of the injured. From there, remaining money will go toward mental health resources for the Abundant Life community. For WRCE News, I'm Joanne Krulotz.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabe. Award show season is not only fun if you like award shows, it also can give you excellent suggestions of what you should be watching. On the heels of Sunday night's Golden Globes ceremony, the Screen Actors Guild just announced their nominations. Leading the way in the film category was Wicked with 5 nominations. Not too far behind with 4 nominations was A Complete Unknown, the Bob Dylan biopic. Let's do a deep dive. One of the cool things about the SAG Awards is that they recognize entire ensembles when it comes to cast. A Complete Unknown and Wicked are both nominated in the category, in addition to Conclave, Anora, and Emilia Perez. Typically, when the movie wins for ensemble cast at the SAG Awards, it more often than not results in a Best Picture win at, wait for it, the Oscars. Cast ensemble has been a category at the SAG Awards since 1995, and Variety reports that in 30 years, only 4 films have won Best Picture at the Oscars that didn't win for Best Ensemble at the SAG Awards. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabe, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Cloudy tonight with scattered flurries and snow showers. Lows upper teens. A mix of sun and clouds for tomorrow. Highs upper 20s. Dry Saturday. More snow possible late Saturday night and Sunday. Weekend highs pretty close to 30 degrees. Current temp is 30.
Earl Ingram.
The Republicans and Donald Trump want to impose tariffs. They say it's going to bring in $2.7 trillion.
That's what they say when they're trying to justify a tax reduction. Those broad tariffs are not good for the average American.
You know, Sandy, I'm not a guy that knows anything about calculus and any of those things, but I do know how to add and subtract. They're adding to the national debt.
The Earl Ingram Show, weekday mornings 8 to 10 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. The Todd Alba Show.
What's going on in Washington today as we move into 2025? Have your antenna up. Don't rely on all the media sources, just your own wisdom, your own heart, your own gut. Listen to what they're saying about our friends and neighbors and family, because we innately know these people that we live with every day in our communities. Don't allow words and thoughts to tear us apart. Hold fast to that which we know, which is good.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekdays, noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Maggie Dawn.
Next, I review 2024 in the law and talk about what it tells each of us about our expectations for 2025 and your family. Don't miss it.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekday afternoons from 2 till 4. It's time for the Nightlight Popcorn Pick of the Week, where we recommend a movie that you'll either enjoy or won't. Here's your host, Pete Schwabba.
One of my favorite segments of the week, where we get to hear from a good friend or someone we just met. It's important to have an exchange of ideas, because if you're going to be a true inside guy, couch potato, or girl for that matter, you need suggestions. So that's why we are thrilled to welcome my next guest here to Nightlight. He's been on the show before. He's a very funny comedian and owner of the Laugh Tap, Laughing Tap in Milwaukee, and he is the co-host of Matt and Air on Air right here on Civic Media, and he joins us now over the stream, Greg Bach. Greg, how are you?
Good evening, Pete. How are you doing today?
I'm doing very well. You sound really formal tonight, buddy.
Well, you know, I'm on radio with you.
How are you? How the heck is, how are things going?
Things are going well, you know, just living life. The holidays are done. Getting back to normal. Yeah. All the family gatherings are finished. All the presents have been unwrapped. And now just, you know, back to regular life.
Back to ordinary time.
Yeah.
Our question tonight, Greg, is what is your favorite podcast? And I don't know, you know, do you have a favorite podcast? Are you too gassed, like when you're done hosting radio and being a guest and all this kind of stuff? What do you listen to?
So there are two podcasts. There's one I've been listening to for years now called The Weekly Planet, which is a podcast based out of Australia that talks about movies, comic book movies, comic books, games, video games. And it's just really fun. It's two guys. Like, they're not super duper nerds. They're really funny. And I listen to it every week. And I recommend it to anyone who enjoys especially news about comic book movies and video games and things like that. Nice. And then one that I just recently discovered is called The Midnight Library of Baseball, which is one guy, and he talks in a very dulcet tone like this about baseball topics. It's one topic. It's anywhere from 15 minutes to 40 minutes, and I really enjoy it. It gets into the deep weeds of the history of baseball, which I really, really like. And so I've been very much – it's hard to listen to that one on the way home late at night because his voice is just like this. And, you know, it's the midnight library of baseball. So, yeah, those are the two that I'm really been deep into lately.
Do you listen to comedy or comedians podcasts? You're in the comedy
I try
game.
Never to – Pete, comedy's crass. I don't really like it. I don't like comics. I'm not a fan of comedy. It's just, no, I watch specials. I watch comedy specials. I don't watch them all. I do feel like now there are just so many of them.
Oh my gosh.
I grew up in a time when there was one place to see comedy, like specials, it was HBO. And if you got an HBO special, that was a big, big deal.
Yeah.
But no, I mean, I still listen there. I mean, I still listen to Patton Oswalt albums, Kyle Kinane records, and I listen to comedy records here and there, but not as much as I used to. And I mean, we did the math, and we did like 600 shows last year between everything, and so I saw a lot of comedy last year. So
you don't.
Sometimes
need to keep
I even Pete. Sometimes I even just drive. I mean, I'm sure you know this. Like whether you go to a concert or you do a show and you're kind of all talked out and sounded out.
Yeah.
You'll just drive home in silence. You'll be like, this is nice. This is perfect.
It's true. I honestly, and one time, like when I go home at night, sometimes I'll have, like I was saying before, I'll put, you know, most of my day is doing showbiz type stuff. So I want an escape. So I'll put sports on. And every once in a while, I'll put a pop music radio station on, Greg, just so I have some idea of what music is out there, because that's kind of foreign to me. I know that sounds crazy, but it's true.
No, you're not crazy at all. I mean, and I don't mean to cast aspersions upon your age or my age, but I think one of the things, I think it's a very good idea to know what's going on right now, because the last thing I ever want to be, I'm 47. I don't want to be the guy who's like, well, back in my day, we had real music. It's you guys ever heard of Metallica? You know, like, I don't want to be that guy. I want to hear the music that I at least want to be aware. I might not like it or turn it on first, but I at least want to be aware of what younger people are listening to, because I love to know what they enjoy, and I'm happy that they are enjoying it.
I totally agree with you. And I feel like the people, it's like kind of the lowest form of intelligence when people say, well, when I was a kid, we played outside. We weren't sitting in on those video games. And I'm like, well, if you were a kid now, that's what you'd be doing. Because you know what?
Exactly.
You didn't have Jackal back then. So, you know.
Well, and when they were, and when they were a kid, their parents were saying, you know, we didn't have cable when we were your age. We,
exactly.
You know, we worked in a quarry when we were 12. You know, it's... I've said it before and I'll say it again. I do not enjoy intergenerational squabbling.
Yeah.
It doesn't get anything done. And I think that when I listen to young people make fun of older people, I'm like, yeah, you'll be older one day. It's fine. But when older people make fun of younger people, I'll be like, just because they're having a better time than you doesn't mean right. you have to make fun of them.
Yeah. It goes both ways. When you hear some young punk who doesn't know anything say, okay, boomer, it's like, well, you got to think of something original. Then I'll have a little more respect for you. But so, all right, you got this great comedy club, Greg, and you're hosting this, co-hosting this amazing radio show. What's coming up on both? What's coming up on Matt and Air on Air that we need to know about? And who do you have coming into the club that people should go see?
Well, this weekend we actually have Nate Craig, who is a Madison native.
Oh, nice.
He is someone actually you should have on your show, too. He's fantastic.
Nate Craig.
He's from Madison, lives in Los Angeles. He was on a Netflix TV show that the name of it is now escaping me. Maniac, I believe it was.
Tiger King?
But it had, was that? Yes, exactly. Tiger King. Tiger King.
Nice.
It had, I mean, it was, it starred Jonah Hill and Emma Stone. So it has a big, he's also, released a special live at the Green Mill, which he taped at the Green Mill Club in Chicago, a couple years ago.
Cool, yeah.
And it was produced by Bill Burr's label, All Things Comedy. So Nate is great. There's four shows this weekend. You can buy tickets at laughingtap.com. And then we have the following week, our friend Evan Hull is going to be recording an album. He'll be doing that at our club. I mean, the Very new nice. Year has got great, great headliners coming up. And then, you know, just moving our way through the months. And before we know it, it's summer. And before we know it, it's fall. And the Milwaukee Comedy Festival 20 years is happening this coming October. And we're going to be right back here in January of 2026 going, hey, what happened in 2025?
Yeah, I don't want to say you're getting ahead of us here, Greg. But
yeah, exactly.
You just skipped over a year.
Yeah. As far as Matt and Air, sorry, everybody just cracked my knuckles. As far as Matt and Air on Air goes, we got great guests coming up. We're going to be having our friend Matt Randolph coming back on the show. His name is Mr. Global Online. He is a certified gas and oil expert. He talks about the myths, the truths of gas and oil in America, and really breaks the subject down into digestible pieces for everyone. And will he very much is a what's the word I'm looking for? A logistical thinker. Okay. On the topic, but he also won't lie to you either. Like, he's going to tell you that, you know, we need to look at alternative energies, but we're not at the place where we need to be as a country, whether infrastructure. Very interesting guy. He'll be on this coming Monday at 10:30. You want to check that out. So we got great guests coming up, and I'm very much looking forward to the next few. I love doing that show. Jane is fantastic.
She's so great.
Oh my gosh, it's a masterclass in radio.
You guys are great together. I mean, what I love about your show is you cover everything. You do current events, you do some politics, and then like Randolph, and then you do some show business stuff. It's a really fun show, and I encourage everybody to check it out if you haven't already. All right, before we get to movies and popcorn,
okay,
I guess we're there actually, but I do want to ask you one more question about comedy. All right, so the business has ebbs and flows. When I started doing stand up. In like 1990, Greg, I was lucky. I got in when there was a boom. There was tons of work.
Yeah.
And then, you know, that sort of started to dissipate a little bit in the mid-90s, right when I left the Midwest. And I think it came back and then COVID hit. Where is the state of comedy right now from a club owner's perspective?
That's a great question. Where is the state of comedy post-COVID? Definitely it's picking up. I mean, there is a, you know, I was thinking about this. Yesterday, I was watching a clip from a comic who, in my opinion, is huge. And I the reason why I'm not going to mention names is because I don't want to speak ill of them. But I feel like there was this whole layer of comics who were just ready to explode. Like, they had specials, they've released records, they've done roast things, they've done, like, you know, they've been all over the place.
Yeah.
And they've been on television. Their names are starting to bubble up to the top, and then COVID hit. And then it kind of like they couldn't perform for a year and a half, 2 years. And they almost, it might be like starting over. They're going back to the clubs, which is nothing wrong with going to the clubs. I run a club. I want you to be at our club.
Yeah.
But I feel like COVID really kept a whole layer of comics from hitting that huge level status for a while, and now they're reworking their way up. And I mean, with the rise of social media as a platform to put comedy out there, it's definitely changed the landscape with the art and how it's presented. You know, we see a lot of clips that are crowd work clips, which, you know, I don't have a huge problem with, but, you know, it does require us to approach our audience with a different sense of care, where we say, hey, don't engage with a comic unless they talk to you first, because this isn't the internet, this isn't TikTok. And I think what we're seeing is now we're seeing like not a mutation, like that's also kind of a pejorative, but just, you know, you have your regular comedy that you're gonna go see in a club, and then you have comics that are touring theaters doing crowd work all the time. So I think that post-pandemic, I think you've seen a real splinter into different genres of stand-up that are all becoming popular in their own way, and people who really grassroots, like a real DIY punk rock attitude of just playing small venues and but being very, very aware of how they hustle online, getting bigger gigs and more followers. I mean, you know, if you have a million followers on one social media platform, you're going to be touring all over the country. That's just how it is.
Yeah. Have you had, are you familiar with Mary Mack?
Absolutely. We've had her at the club. Oh, I love Mary. So Mary is just a dear, dear person. And I can't speak about Mary without in the same breath speaking of the wonderful Tim Harmston, her husband, who I love both of them so very much. And hopefully getting one, if not both of them, back at the club this year. But Mary is just phenomenal.
She's so great. She was on the show a couple months ago, and it reminded me when you said playing a small bar, smaller venue, she was doing a tour of small venues. And I was like, oh, that's brilliant. You know, sell out a small venue as opposed to sit in a cavernous whatever. So let's do this. I have a couple more comedy questions for you, Greg.
All right.
Let's get to, before we run out of time here in this first segment, and I'm hoping you can stick around for a few more minutes after the quick
break.
Of course.
But, I'm here for as long as you need me, my friend.
All right. So I think it's that time of the week that we need to get your popcorn pick, Greg, of a movie that you could recommend. So, Conrad, if you please. Ladies and gentlemen, Greg Bach, who you can hear on Matt and Aaron Air from 10 a.m. to noon every day here at Civic Media. He's also a comedian. Greg, what is your popcorn pick of the week?
My popcorn pick of the week is a 2023 British black comedy called Wicked Little Letters.
Wow. I love it. I have not heard of that, and I love it even more. Wicked Little Letters.
It's listed as a black comedy mystery.
Oh, my gosh. That's great. Feature film.
It's a feature film. It's based off of what's called the real life, the Little Hampton Libels, which was a series of very, very risque, foul-mouthed letters sent to various people throughout a small community in England, and what all came to be from that incident. And it stars Olivia Colman, which right there, Olivia Colman, you got me there, because she could do no wrong, in my opinion. If I could be friends with an actor, I would be friends with Olivia Colman. But the cast itself is fantastic, and she is wonderful. And it's a mystery. So you're laughing, but you're like on the edge of your seat and wanting to find out what's going to happen. And then the end of the movie happened. It's really good. So Wicked Little Letters is the name of the film.
Great recommendation. I love when I
thank you.
I love when I get a recommendation that I haven't seen yet, and that's fantastic. Yeah. Okay, cool. We'll look for that, and that's fantastic. So what else are you watching? Anything binge worthy, Greg? You watch TV shows?
I do, actually. I'm currently binging Young Sheldon. I know. At me, haters. I'm an unabashed lover of the Big Bang universe. I love the Big Bang theory and Young Sheldon. And I hear the music coming. It's like the Oscars right now. I'm being called off. I'm so sorry. I've talked too long.
Or in comedy club lingo, we're giving you the light. But we'll let you continue. And just after a very quick break here, we're having some fun here tonight. Greg Bach just gave us his popcorn pick of the week. We'll have a couple more minutes with Greg when we come back. You got Nightlight with Peach Wawa on the Civic Media Radio Network. You bring up little dynamite. Well, I'm going to dig up little dynamite. Everyone on our house tonight. Make that highway. I don't wanna be your son.
This is News from the Setter, WRCE.
There was a time when barbecue was perfect. A strong, reliable flavor that could be counted on. But then big manufacturers decided that barbecue needed to be zesty or spicy or sweeter or whatever. If you miss the good old days of great tasting barbecue, we'd like to introduce you to Grandpa's Barbecue. Made in small batches from Grandpa's original recipe. Buy yours online today at grandpasbarbecueshop.com.
I'm Dan Schaefer. Let's recombobulate. The beginning of the year means a new session for the Wisconsin State Legislature. Members of the State Senate and State Assembly were sworn into office on Monday, January 6th. There are a lot of new faces in that group, with 6 new members in the State Senate and 31 new representatives in the State Assembly. While Republicans will remain in the majority, that majority is now the smallest it has been in more than a decade. The days of the GOP's supermajority are over. After last year's elections under new, fairer maps, we'll see if those smaller majorities lead to more compromise in a legislature that's been dominated by the right for nearly 15 years. Just a handful of seats make the difference now between a Republican and Democratic majority, and there are many more opportunities now to bring accountability to legislators, especially those in competitive districts. And in a healthy democracy, that's the way things should be.
Find all of Dan's work at the Recombobulation Area and on our website at civicmedia.us.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
Here's what the WSJ had said after J6. This week has probably finished Donald Trump as a serious political figure. Boy, that hasn't aged well, has
it? No, not at all.
In the Wall Street Journal. So after what they just said 4 years ago, Maggie, they couldn't bring it upon themselves to say that guy who did that shouldn't be anywhere near the White House again. Nope, couldn't do it.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
You're listening to News from the Center, WRCE.
Greg Bach does not need some young whippersnapper to tell him that this is a great song.
Oh,
dancing
my gosh,
away over there. I love it, buddy.
Rocks out. It rocks out.
My guest is Greg Bach. He is a comedian and the owner of The Laughing Tap in Milwaukee, which you should definitely check out. Some great shows coming up there in the next couple weeks. He's also the co-host of Matt and Air on Air here at Civic Media, which you can catch every day on the network from 10 a.m. to 12 noon. Great to have Greg here. His popcorn pick of the week was the British black comedy mystery Wicked Little Letters. And you were talking about Young Sheldon, Greg. I know Conrad's a big fan of the show as well.
Yeah, I really enjoy it. I watched The Big Bang Theory, and I finally decided to, especially it completed the show this year, so I'm watching through the whole thing. And then there's the other spinoff that they just released this year, so I got more to watch. But yeah, I'm really enjoying it. The characters are great. The actors are wonderful. The lady who plays Sheldon's mother on Big Bang Theory is Laurie Metcalf, and Laurie Metcalf's daughter plays young Sheldon's mother on the spinoff.
Her real life daughter?
Her real life daughter plays.
That. Oh wow.
Yeah, and when you see it in her eyes and the way she speaks, but to me, whenever Laurie Metcalf is on screen, I am happy. She is so
She's
good.
So great.
Oh my gosh, she is just a phenomenal actor.
It was idolized in our house from her time on Roseanne. My wife loved that show, Greg. And when we moved to LA, she lived right behind us. Like the apartment building we were in backed up against her yard. She had a tennis court. And when my wife found out that was Laurie Metcalf's house, all bets were off. So we saw her at the grocery store within 3 months of living there. And my wife, to tell the story, it's so funny. She looked at her and she was smiling and looked like a psychopath because she was seeing her idol up close. And I think since that, Laurie Metcalf wanted nothing to do with us, but she's so great. So unbelievably talented. And that's I didn't know that was her daughter, though.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. And actually, like when they rebooted Roseanne and it turned into
The Connors.
The Connors is fantastic too, and
that's what I hear.
You still have Laurie Metcalf, you have John Goodman. I mean, that cast is fantastic as well. And I'm, you know, that's going to be having its final season this year as well. And I'm looking forward to.
How do they explain? and I can Google this, but you're here. We're talking about it now. How do they explain John Goodman's death on Roseanne and bringing him back? Is it some kind of prequel or
something? Just like it's like a retcon. They just sort of ignore it. It's like it was all like ah, we were kidding.
You bought that? Come on.
Yeah. So, I mean, I don't even remember the last season and a half of the original show. It got weird. Real weird. But yeah, what they do now is fantastic. And binging anything else, you know, I'm always watching The West Wing at some point.
Oh, nice. Okay. Yeah. So let me ask you this. Comedy is your game. Who do you like now? Like if you're flipping around on, let's say, basic cable, whatever, and you see someone come on, what new comedians do you think have a shot to be legendary or that you can't turn off, that kind of thing?
Gosh. Oh my gosh. Oh my God. That is such a wide question.
Chappelle? Pat McGann? No. Do you know Pat McGann?
I know. I mean, I've never shaken his hand, but I know of Pat McGann. My friend Jim Flanagan opens for him on a regular basis.
Okay. Yeah,
and,
right.
Pat is fantastic. I'm just trying to think. I mean, he's already kind of becoming a legend, but Nick Bargatze is absolutely phenomenal. He's a wonderful
man.
Maria Bamford's also, in my head,
she's
the legend.
Great. Yeah.
She is someone who nobody can touch. Nobody can touch
her. Like,
she's
got
a style all her own, absolutely unique in her presentation. And I feel like anyone else trying to do what she does on stage would be disingenuous. So
interesting.
I mean, that's just, you know, a few of the, one of the great comics that we have come through, Dulce Sloan is on the Daily Show. She's fantastic as well.
Okay. Is she she's blonde hair?
She's a black woman.
Sit at the desk. Oh, okay. Gotcha.
You're Dulce is one of, she's hosted, and she's a correspondent.
Okay.
I can't think of the other lady right now that you're thinking of.
She's funny too. They're all great. I don't watch the Daily
Show. Desi Lydek. Desi Lydek. That's her name.
Since I've been doing this show, I've met so many fun Wisconsin comedians like Mary Mack, Johnny Beaner. Yeah. John Egan a couple weeks ago was on the show, and
he's so angry. He's just always angry, John Egan, that boy is.
In a charming way. Like he sat here amused, but also like he could reach over and strangle my throat, you know, or something.
Yeah.
But yeah, there's a dynamic there. But I'm bringing him and Johnny up to Marinette as well as a comedian from the UP for a fundraiser. And I'm very excited to watch those guys back to back. And
well, you know, if you ever need a comedian, Pete, I mean,
do you know someone?
I might know a guy.
Greg, if you're willing to drive 2.5 hours, I'll put you down next year. We do this fundraiser every year. Yeah. And I'm always looking for people. I would love to have you out there. It'd be a blast.
Absolutely. Let me know. I've been to Marionette. I've done comedy. I've done comedy in Ishpeming, my friend.
Listen, dude, you can't say Marionette, though. They will chase you out of that town. What it is Marionette.
Okay. Marinette. Good Lord. I didn't mean to spook the locals.
The locals would love you, buddy. Hey, thanks so much for your time tonight. Always fun. And thank you for a great recommendation. I'm excited to check out that movie.
I appreciate it. Thanks for the invite.
You got it. Keep up the great work with Jane. Thanks, and happy birthday to your co-host as well.
Yes. Happy birthday, Jane.
Yeah. All right. That's Greg Bach. Check out The Laughing Tap in Milwaukee. Great room. And check out Matt and Air on Air right here on Civic Media from 10 a.m. to 12 noon. Greg and Jane are phenomenal and so much fun to listen to. We've got... we got a text, Conrad, about our podcast question from the 414, enjoying the show. Hope this doesn't disqualify me as a good listener, but I enjoy Joe Rogan, mostly because of the guests he gets. Thanks. And then he did share his name. That's Todd from Watertown. Yeah, no judgment, Todd. We all have our podcast, and thank you for chiming in. That's so great. Joe is a former comedian. And I think he does a good job at the UFC fights. I will say that. So thank you for sharing your opinion. What is your favorite podcast, ladies and gentlemen? Let us know. You can text us, message us on the stream, or go old school with the phone. Just get a hold of us one way or the other. We'd love to hear from you. It's Pete Schwab and Nightlight. Mike Clemens coming up next.
News from the Center, WRCE. Jane Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, what is going on in North Carolina and in Florida with Judge Eileen Cannon? Jim Santel from Abacus Law Review joins us to break it all down. Don't miss it.
Matinair on Air, weekday mornings at 10.
The possibility of lung cancer can be pretty scary, especially if you're one of approximately 8 million current or former smokers at high risk. That's why SaveByTheScan.org wants you to know that now there's a breakthrough low-dose CT scan that can detect lung cancer early, and it only takes 60 seconds. You stop smoking, now start screening. For an easy quiz to see if you're eligible, visit SaveByTheScan.org. It could save your life. SaveByTheScan.org is brought to you by the American Lung Association's Lung Force Initiative and the Ad Council.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app. This is News from the Center, 1450 AM WRCE and 107.7 FM W299 CD Richland Center. And always on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Richard Cantu. It appears former President Trump will be sentenced Friday, tomorrow, on 34 felony counts in the hush money business fraud case. A divided Supreme Court on a 5-4 vote rejected Trump's bid to delay the sentencing. Former President Carter's remains are back in Plains, Georgia for burial. Earlier, a state funeral in Washington, D.C., President Biden eulogizing.
Jimmy Carter's friendship taught me, and through his life, taught me the strength of character.
Character figuring prominently in the president's eulogy.
Throughout his life, he showed us what it means to be a practitioner of good works and a good and faithful servant of God and of the people.
Later, Mr. Biden announced that the federal government will cover 100% of wildfire-related costs in Southern California for 6 months. This is ABC News.
Between all the